Let's pray. Yes, Father, to come before you this morning, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day you've given to us. Lord, I just pray that you would be with Noah as he speaks. Lord, give him the words that you want him to share. Lord, calm his heart and give him a clear mind. And Lord, help us to be attentive and listen to hear what you have for us. Lord, I just pray this all in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. That song we just sang, that's probably one of my favorite songs. Just calling out to the Lord, Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid my struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit into peace. Thou hast bought me with thy blood. Open wide the gate to God. Peace I ask, but peace must be, Lord, in being one with thee. May thy will, not mine, be done. May thy will and mine be one. Chase these doubtings from my heart. Now thy perfect peace impart. Savior, at thy feet I fall. Thou my life, my God, my all. Let thy happy servant be one forevermore with thee. And I was just inspired with the thought of just being one with the Lord. He said, if we're surrendered and the Lord is our, the Lord is our Savior. He says that His Spirit will dwell in us, and He says that I and my Father will come and make our abode in you. And being one with the Lord, that was just that's an encouragement to me. Thank you, brothers, for sharing this morning. It was very good for me. This morning, my desire is to just encourage us again to have faith in a God that is worthy to have faith in, to have faith in a God that is true. He's alive forevermore. He is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Many times we can go through life and we come up against maybe a bump in the road, and it almost sometimes throws us off course. And my encouragement to us is to consider God this morning, consider His faithfulness this morning. Faithfulness is an attribute of God. I just want to inspire us in that way, that when you come to those, maybe those crossroads in life, those deep valleys, those dark places, difficult times, that you look beyond that and you look to God and see see Him through that time. Put your faith in Him. So yes, I hope to inspire you this morning by just a glimpse into God's faithfulness, to stir our minds up in this way. So as we do this, we'll take a journey through Genesis chapter 1 for a few minutes. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. There's something very foundational in this verse. And for us to have faith in this faithful God, we need to understand that. And there's also a similar verse in John 1, verse 1. Does anybody know what it says? John 1, verse 1, anyone? Was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And just thinking of us having faith in this God, those two things need to be established in our hearts. The very first thing here in Genesis says, in the beginning, God. Does it give any more description on God? That's right. It just says, in the beginning, God. It establishes His ever existence. Zachary was talking to us about time this morning. And that's in our finite minds, that's how we operate, is everything's in time. But God is infinite, and he doesn't operate that way. He doesn't operate that way at all. We need to, in our hearts, it needs to be established to us, his existence. He was, he is, and he always will be. If that's final in your heart, then you can put faith in God. But if that's a question mark in your heart, you can't put faith in God. Because this God, he's not there for you to establish your faith in. you need to have that established in your heart and life. It's very foundational. Because if we want to believe the rest of the Word of God, then we have to first believe that. Because if we can't believe that God is, we can't believe that God was and is and always will be, he is the great I am, there isn't a beginning or an end. If that's not established, then the rest of the Word of God is all hinged upon that. And so it'll all be useless to us. We see time because God created time for this creation of his right here. And God is outside of it. You know, as we journey through life and we come to the point of the end of our life, whether that's tomorrow for some of us or whether that's in 40 years, whatever it is, time as we know it stops. Time as we know it stops. Then eternity becomes a greater reality to us. There's God. He was in eternity past. He's also in eternity present and future. It's an ever existence, and we don't understand that because of our finite minds. We don't always wrap our minds around that. But we must believe that God dwells there. Eternity, it's endless. Time is no more. So before time was, God was already there. And God will still be after time. So for me, this is something very foundational in my mind that if I can't believe God, believe the word that describes that God is. He is the great I am. It says he has no beginning and no end. If I can't rest in that truth, the rest of God's word, I can't put a solid foundation in it just because I have this question mark. And so I want to encourage us to trust in a God that's bigger than us. Trust in a God that's bigger than us. Colossians 1:17 says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." He is before all things, and by him all things consist. They consist. They exist and continue to exist by him. It's this great God. Acts 17:28 says, "In him we live and move and have our being." You just think about it a minute. God, he breathed the breath of life in the human race. If he was today to take that breath away, everyone everywhere would cease to exist. That's God. By him we live and we move, and we have our being. Everything continues to exist because of the mercy of God, because the long-suffering of God, he allows it to continue to exist. Today, we still see his faithfulness. I'm going to read through the first verse, or first chapter in Genesis, a number of verses, just to give us a picture of God's faithfulness today still. And mind you, I will only scratch the surface on it. And as I'm speaking, maybe thoughts are coming to your mind of God's faithfulness in an avenue that I didn't even touch. Feel free to say them. It'll be a blessing. In the beginning, God, His existence is established by that. In the beginning, God. He created the heaven and earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly, and the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great wells and everything, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And God, he rested on the seventh day. But as I was thinking of God's faithfulness, You know, as God created all this that I read here, He created light and darkness. He created night and day. Today, we still see His faithfulness. Today, we can witness that the day and the night change. we can witness His faithfulness. This speaks of God who was in the beginning. He created all this, and God was before then. This God created all this. And in His faithfulness in His creation, we continue to see it go on today. just thinking of the sea, the earth, and sky still operate as He set them in order. They're still within their bounds. I was just thinking of the sea. You know, Junior was talking about the earth being destroyed by a flood. And God, here's another one of His faithful things He created was, He says, I give you this rainbow as a promise that I'll never do this again. I'll never destroy the entire earth with a flood. And as I think, I was just thinking of the waters, and we've all seen stormy seas, right? You've either probably experienced them or seen videos of them or something. Tsunamis, big storms. And if you've been to the ocean, you sit there and you can sit there for hours and watch the waves come in. And they come in and they hit their border and they go back out. Hit their border and go back out. I can't think of where the scripture is, but it insinuates, gives you the thought of the sea trying to go beyond its borders, but it holds it there. But I was just picturing that, even though, God, He set this thing in order, it still functions today as He created it to. He put the boundaries there, and He said, water, you can't come through here. You can never again consume the entire earth, He says. And we see these big storms rise up, and they come in. The big storms, they come in way inland. But where does that water always end up? Somehow, the water always ends up back in its boundaries. Whether it's through evaporation, whether it's through just running back in, it always ends up back in its boundaries. God, He orchestrated that. His faithfulness in creation. The sun and the moon, in their rotation, they come up and they go down. You can count on it. They come up and they go down. Oh, and He says this almost as an afterthought. I made the stars too. You guys ever see the stars? If the stars aren't an awesome sight to you, you need to do some study on some stars. You really ought to do that. Study the stars. And get a little, get some facts behind of what you're seeing. You're looking way out there and you just think you see a star. And you zoom in and there's much more there. And then these stars that look so little, some of them, they're so big. They're so vast, unreal. They make our sun look really, really little. When you put them in comparison, the earth disappears. That's how big, that's how vast the universe is. And God, He made the sun to rule the day and the lesser light, the moon comes out at night. Oh, and He made the stars too, just like an afterthought, like, oh, this is... But if you really study that out, it's huge in God and His faithfulness. They come up, they move, they do their thing that God created them to do. And they do it over and over and over since creation. And it's an amazing thought to me that we serve such a faithful God. You imagine serving God, and you know the Word of God says that He changes not, right? God changes not. I'm ever thankful for that. Imagine not knowing what time the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. Just random. It's like, oh, we got 2 hours of sunlight today. It was pitch black until then. Or it's 24 hours of sunlight for a whole week and a half straight. Now, I know you go to certain places where you're closer to the equator and some of that changes, but I'm talking about here
where God created it to work in His universe, that would be like really interesting to us. We'd be like, what next, right? But God doesn't change. That's how faithful He is. He set this thing up to work how He orchestrated it to. And it does. And it does. Another thing I'm thankful for is just thinking of rain. God sends rain. You know, when He created this, it was a moisture come up from the earth. But after the flood, rain came. And you know what it says about the rain? That it doesn't just rain on certain people. He says it rains on the just and on the unjust. I mean, we would be some really wretched people, really poor people, outside the kingdom of God if it just rained on the just people. Before we gave our lives to the Lord, we'd be a dry people. But God, in His sovereignty, He says, you know what? I'm blessing the entire universe with rain. God is an amazing God. And today He's still faithful in sending rain. We have our seasons. We have our seasons. Where we live, we have spring, we have summer, fall, and winter. And those seasons come pretty faithful. They do. Some may be a little harsher than others, but those seasons are always there. You can just count on them. He says He created the lights of the heaven. He says to let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. An awesome God we serve. Another thing that I want us to think about is God and His faithfulness in creation is the way God created things to reproduce. To me, is a marvelous thing. The tree that bears its fruit, and it says that the seed is in that fruit. Do you know you can replant that seed and you'll get an exact replica, so to speak, of the fruit you put in the ground? There's a tree going to grow and it bears fruit. It's after its kind. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if that amazes you, but God in His infinite wisdom created that. And today, you go to an apple tree and you pick an apple and you open the thing up, there's little things in there. Those little things aren't just waste. They're not just a byproduct of, you know, just, I don't know what God was thinking. Why He put them in there? Because they're not good to eat. Those things right there will create the very thing you're holding in your hand. All you got to do is plant them. And then when God blesses that in and gives it increase, there's a tree grows. And after time, that very thing you was holding is right there in your hand. To me, it's amazing. Amazing. The infinite wisdom of God. His faithfulness in creation. What you plant is what grows. And it talks about whose seed is in itself. In the animal kingdom, the same thing. I stand amazed at an almighty God that His faithfulness today we still can witness. To me is overwhelming because my infinite mind can't seem to grasp it all. And then you have God in His faithfulness demonstrating all this. We have it in His Word. We can go outside and witness all these things. We can witness the sea staying in its boundary. We can see the earth. We see the heavens. We see the stars. We see the sun. We see the moon. We see the tree, the grass. We see the fruit on it. We investigate sometimes when we find the seeds in these things. We see the animal kingdom and how they reproduce. It's all after their kind. We see that. It's God's faithfulness that He established. And today, you have people say that we evolved. And when you think of God, That's ludicrous. That's just like, that's absolutely crazy to think we evolved. Because everything produces after its kind. Monkeys aren't becoming more human-like. You understand? Monkeys aren't becoming more human-like. Horses aren't looking more like elephants. Giraffes don't look more like lions. Whatever they're supposed to evolve into. My point is, they're not changing. God is infinite. God is almighty. He deserves our worship, our trust. He deserves us putting our faith in Him. All these other doctrines, these religions that don't have this true and living God, are all going to burn. They're all going to perish. There's only life in the true and living way. That's the only place that there's life. All other doctrines and religions will not stand against the gates of hell. But the true word of God will stand forever. Forever. Established forever. It's an awesome thing in my heart and mind. The rest, whether it's evolutionist, whether it's whatever, outside the kingdom of God, is going to perish forever. That's actually an establishment of God as well. That's actually an establishment of God. Anything that's outside of His kingdom is going to perish. I think it's in Revelations that gives us that picture as well. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Anything else is not going to do. It's not going to stand the test of time. The gates of hell will prevail with anything else. We have, I spoke on it a little bit ago, we have the precious promise of the rainbow. That's something that God established. And it's in order until He comes. The faithfulness of God. One thought Junior shared this morning was, and I was thinking of the faithfulness of God. He says he puts, Junior said it this way, He puts fear into the animals towards the human race. And you go out in the woods, any animal that you didn't tame or hasn't been tamed, most of them won't just come up to you and say, hey, you know what's... Most of them look at you as a threat. You're a threat to me. And they're gone. But that's something God's... that's established in God's Word as well. This is the only God to put our faith in. This one that is established forever. The one that created all these things and His faithfulness in them continue to go on. God wants us to have faith in Him. Faith is acting upon what you believe. Faith. Faith is trusting in the Lord even when your feelings aren't aligned. Sometimes you go through those dark valleys and your feelings are just off. But putting faith in God and still doing what's right. Continuing on. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. God's wanting a people. You know, He wanted this in Genesis when he created the human race. He wants a people that will serve Him voluntarily. And the Word of God is established in that way as well. We can read that in Genesis where it says the Word of the Lord came and walked in the garden with walked and talked in the garden with Adam in the cool of the day. God was wanting a people that would voluntarily serve Him. And He still, today, He sent His Son to redeem a people to Himself for this voluntary society. That's what God's heart is. No one is forced to. Everyone needs to choose. We can see God's faithfulness by reading the Scriptures and seeing His Word is true. He spoke to us through His Word. As we read of salvation through Jesus Christ. We read of the Messiah coming in the Old Covenant. Just read Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. It talks about the Lord Jesus. It's prophesying about Him coming. These things, when I think about the prophecies in the Old Testament that speak about the Lord, and then hundreds of years later, it actually happens. Those things are a marvelous thing to me, and they're nothing short of the hand of the Lord. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Lord Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's many prophecies about the Lord Jesus, from his birth to his suffer, to his coming to his suffering. And to me, just the faithfulness of God, in His Word, it takes prophecies hundreds of years ago and brings them later, and they're fulfilled. That's marvelous. That speaks of a true and mighty God and His faithfulness. and He did that. Jesus did that. He came. The Lord sent Him to come that we could have life. He could redeem to Himself a people. We could have life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, 6. He's the way to walk. He's the truth to live by. And He gives us life more abundantly. There's another Old Testament scripture that comes to my mind. It's in Malachi. It talks about He's going to come and He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and hearts of the children to the fathers. And when the Lord Jesus comes into your heart and you don't have that relationship with your children, He'll do that. I've witnessed that in many homes, turning the hearts. Turning the hearts together. Look at what happens when Jesus enters into our heart. God's faithfulness. He sent Jesus to give us life. He sent Jesus to give us rest. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, He says, to come unto me all ye labor for, and I will, lost the words now. Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says to take our yoke upon us. Take His yoke upon us, for He is, is meek and lowly, and His burden is light, something of that nature. I'll just find it and read it here for us. Sorry, I thought I had it printed out. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. May He come to give us rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus came to give us rest. And, you know, as we journey through life, we can, you know, we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That's the purpose He came, is to redeem us. And as we journey through life, we struggle because we're still living in this body of flesh. We still live in this flesh. And at times we struggle, we fail. And I just want to encourage us of God's faithfulness, that we have an advocate that He intercedes for us, Jesus Christ the righteous. That when we fail, that we get up and we repent and we call on to the Lord and go on. That we don't just give up, because sometimes the enemy can come and he makes us We just feel so undone, so unworthy, and how can we go on anymore? We really blew it, and the enemy will continue to bring condemnation upon condemnation, just pile on until you just want to give up because I can't go no more. But one thing I want to encourage us is that condemnation comes from the enemy. That's where condemnation comes from. It comes from the enemy. Many thoughts of condemnation come from him to get us to quit, to get us just to give up. But I want to just, you know, I want us to think of God as a father. And he is the best example of one. If you study the Old Testament, you'll see the children of Israel, how God was long-suffering. He was very forbearing, very patient with them for years. Instead of just bringing judgment upon him and destroy him, he always was there with mercy and love. But yet, he wanted a voluntary society, so he let them make their own decisions if they walked away from him or not. But I just want us to think about a holy God, a loving Father, one that's there with outstretched hands that are patient and merciful, that if you fail, that he's there to take you back. Don't crumble under the condemnation and the discouragement that the devil piles on you. But rather, look up. Just look up. Look at the cross and why it was there for. It was there to give you life. It was there to redeem you. Forgiveness is there. Repent. Get up and go on. Don't stay there burdened down under condemnation. The devil is a liar and the father of all lies. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Does that sound like a condemning God? A condemning father? So I want to give you an expected end. I have thoughts of peace towards you. And as we keep that in mind, it's to me, it removes the idea of liberty to sin, to live however I want to. But it impresses on me even heavier and stronger of a holy God that loves me. He redeemed me. He gave his son for me. And after all, I'm a creation of his. He made me. And he gave his son for me. It changes my thought pattern of it doesn't give me a license to sin, but it even brings a more carefulness to not want to sin. He says, I think thoughts towards you of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I think there's something else at the end of one of the verses following that I... He wants to give us an expected end. He thinks thoughts of peace towards us. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I'll hear you. I'm listening. And you shall seek me, and you'll find me. And when you shall search for me with all your heart, you're going to find him when you search for him with all your heart. He says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And he's going to turn away your captivity. That burden that you're under. That thing that sometimes the enemy brings us into captivity in a way of we're bound by this discouragement. I just can't seem to get past this because of I did this and I don't know if the Lord can forgive me. And we're held captive. And if we call out to the Lord, we're going to find him if we're seeking for him with all our heart, it says. And he's going to take that captivity and turn us away from that. We don't have to be bound by that. He gives deliverance. And this is the faithful word of God. Today he's still giving deliverance. In the children of Israel's day, they needed deliverance from their captives. And today, we need deliverance from the enemy when we fall into his snares. In 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To me, these are awesome truths from a God who cannot lie. Think about it. Awesome truths from a God who cannot lie. Forgiveness is for us. But he wants us to follow him with our whole hearts. There's the aspect of God's faithfulness in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When God calls his saints home, we don't have to go through that valley alone. To me, that's very comforting, very rewarding, very, very encouraging. Because we have all heard of stories, maybe some of us has witnessed some, going through that valley alone. It's a horrific experience. And I've witnessed saints going through it with their Heavenly Father, with their loving Savior, the Lord Jesus. Altogether a different experience. One of peace, one of rest. And God grant us that, and when we journey in that valley. So remember something, is that God isn't the God of condemnation. Yes, he's just. He is the just God. Sin is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In his glory, sin's not going to go there. But today, he's not sitting here holding that over us. But he's offering us life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive life. Receive life. And let it cause a faith that is active in the Lord. One that wants to be obedient to the Scriptures. Where the Scriptures are not grievous unto us, but they're a joy. Where we're willing and ready to share about the hope that lies within us. And we're willing, we're active in preaching and teaching to all people as we're the Great Commission that Jesus gives us in Matthew 28, to teach them to observe all things that he taught us. Let this inspiration of a faithful God create a faith in us that's active, that will consider our own lives when God speaks to us, we act. When God puts his finger on something in our lives, that we act. The faithfulness of God's word. Another awesome truth in God's word. Titus, he tells us that, Titus 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You know, God is faithful to teach us. He is faithful to teach us and to direct us. You know, as I think of God's faithfulness, the Word of God is full of his teachings, his words to us written down. And if we could embrace what God has for us in faith, it'll change the way we look at life. If his grace teaches us, then let's be good students. Let's be good students and learn. Learn, what are you saying, Lord? Let's open our hearts to him and hear from him. You know, oftentimes in life we can get maybe just sidetracked. Maybe we're caught up in various things that just cause us to lose focus on the big picture. Because we're here. Life's happening here. And so sometimes we lose focus that we're passing through this life. We're passing through this life. And we instead, we focus on this life. Whether that's trying to establish a wealthy home environment, business, whatever. If it's after the goals and of this life, or whatever it can be, we lose focus. And sometimes we get caught up in the busyness of life, whether it's the same mundane things of just getting up, go to work, come home, you're tired, you try to have family time, you have places you go visit, on it goes. And your life is just so busy and you're missing time with the Lord. Maybe y'all don't find yourself there at times. I do. There's times in my life just like, it just feels like it's reeling out of control. In my devotional times, like, yeah, I'm trying to read here. I'm trying to get up in time to read and pray. And some mornings I get up and I'm so tired that I'm unsuccessful in both. But I still try to put my time in. And I find myself, I'm reading for mileage and not a message. That's something that was in the discipleship class book that blessed me. Reading for mileage and not a message. I'm doing my duty. I'm missing it. That's why it doesn't minister life to me. And so I'm just sharing those things because when these things happen, when you take an evaluation and when you do something about it, sometimes we just cut things out even if they're not wrong things. We're a social people here, right? We like to socialize. We like to visit. It's not hard to have a handful of nights booked. We're going to this family. We're visiting with this family. We're going here. We're going there. And just busy. It's okay to sometimes say, you know what? We're going to go on strike here. We're gonna just take a little break on a couple nights. We need some time at home. Just doing things, and it's practical. Sometimes we get caught up and lose our focus. We get discouraged because of a wrong focus. Other times we can get discouraged. Maybe we're the stress of a loved one that's sick. I was thinking of you mothers can get caught up in this one. Is just you take care of the housekeeping. You do all the cooking, cleaning, and then take care of the little ones. A lot of you homeschool. You do that yet? And you're getting wore out. Now you got little ones that maybe they're getting sick. You got a handful of them sick. Or maybe your husband's sick and you're worried about. These things can get us discouraged. But I want to encourage us to look to the faithful Creator. Look to God who is faithful, even in these times. Because He's just as concerned about it as you are. He's listening. He's watching. He wants us to call out to Him. He wants us to find a rest that He's in charge. He wants to help us even in the times where we find ourselves very overwhelmed. Be faithful. I know sometimes you sisters can struggle with, you know, you got so much going on in the home and it's all around you. And where's my quiet time? Where's my time for the Lord? And you feel condemned because maybe you didn't get it that morning. It's okay. God, He's not in a box. You can actually meet with Him in the afternoon and not feel condemned about it. But because we have a routine, and when we break that routine, we start feeling condemned, like we're not meeting up. Now, I just want to encourage you that life is full. And when you got so many people around you in life, you just make adjustments. It's okay. Make adjustments. Reschedule your time with the Lord. It's okay. You don't have to feel condemned about it. You don't at all. I think sometimes it's much easier for us as men in the work field to reschedule. It's like, no, Aaron, you're not going to come do my roof at so-and-so time. We're starting it at this time. And Joe asked, drywall starting at this time. We have an easy, it seems like it's easier for us a lot of times to do that. But in the home, I mean, life's happening. Everybody's waking up and things are happening. And it's a lot harder to always dissect that. And because everybody, you know, as children get older, they all need to be at a certain place, certain time. And so I just want to encourage you mothers, you sisters, to not be discouraged, but look to a faithful Creator and just meet Him on the schedule that you can. God understands when our days and our weeks don't go as planned. What He really wants is a heart that's after Him, after truth. If we can have that, we'll find ourselves in a good place in meeting with the Lord. He'll help us find that opportunity. Someone shared that this morning already, that about God's word is true. He's faithful. And was talking about worrying. Zachary might have shared it actually. But in Matthew, the word of God is true. He tells us not to worry. And how often do we worry? I fall into that one. Like, oh boy, I don't know how much, you know, work out there. Well, I hear the economy is uh-oh, and all these things. And your mind wants to just worry. Like, oh no. But you know what? God, the Creator of the universe, is He not in control still? He is. I think sometimes maybe why we worry is because it can be, not always, but it can be. We think that maybe we're going to end up having to do with less. Did you know that God never promised us that you're going to be this wealthy all the way until you die? He never did. He says with food and with raiment, therewith be content. And sometimes we get worried because of our comfortable life, maybe. And so, just a challenge for us is to trust the Lord and realize that Job says, I came naked into this world, probably the wealthiest man that ever lived. He says, and I'm going to leave that way. I'm taking nothing with me. And so let's not be holding on to things, but rather let's have our hands open, blessing one another. Let's trust in a God that is faithful. You know, sometimes we find ourselves maybe discouraged, maybe distant from the Lord, and maybe that's simply because of lack of discipline. Because I've found that in my life before, where you go to bed late multiple evenings, you get up early, maybe you work hard all day, instead of, disciplining yourself, go to bed, discipline yourself. Those things are good for us. Now, I'm not saying we have to go to bed at 10 o'clock every night. My wife, she's the one that likes to go to bed early, and the rest of us are not so much that way. But I find that sometimes when we're up too many evenings late, we all struggle in the morning. And then if that happens in a row, it doesn't do anything good for our spiritual life. And so discipline is good for us. But you know, when you find those things that life's overwhelming, you're burdened down with many of life's demanding needs. Maybe you're going through a crisis. Maybe there's a loved one sick. All these things. I just want to encourage us in Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, and that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Even through those difficult, dark times, Just trust the Lord and do that which you know is right to do. You will come out of that dark time and walk in clear light again. But be faithful during that journey. Be faithful and keep doing what's right. And just remember that God, He isn't the one that condemns us. He's the one who offers life to us and redemption, forgiveness. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, the faithfulness of God. No condemnation. But there's a stipulation there. It's those of us that are not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a lot can be shared out of those verses. God is still faithful in giving people rest. God is a faithful God offering life and redemption to people. And the devil is going about to steal and kill and destroy. God's heart towards us again. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You'll find him. God come to give us peace and rest. John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He come to give us peace, real peace. Not the peace that the world gives you that is contingent upon something, but he come to give us real peace. That's based upon Him. That's based on truth. But God, He is to be revered. He is to be feared. Because we don't match up to His glory and to His righteousness. That is why it's of utmost importance to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because when He sees us through the blood, He doesn't see us as having our own righteousness it's written in Philippians 3:9. "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And so I want to encourage us to have faith in this faithful God. It goes on to say there that we may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. And also for those here that are not following the Most High God, you should be very afraid because you have judgment pronounced upon you already. Should you die in this state, you will go to a place of torment that is reserved for the devil and his angels. You know, hell wasn't designed for us. It was designed for the devil and his angels. But that's where all unbelievers will spend their time. If you've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ isn't your Lord and Savior, then you will find yourself without excuse in the day of reckoning of the Lord. So I want to encourage you to go and find that rest, to see that faithful God that we were talking about, the one that is, He has been faithful to all generations. He's the great I Am, that God. Be faithful to Him. Put your faith in Him. Your needs of sin that you have, that you can't overcome. Just reach out as that woman that wanted healing. Just reach out and touch Him by faith and be healed. Those blind men that called out for healing, they didn't stop shouting until they got it. According to your faith, so be it. That centurion who understood authority, and he saw Jesus had authority over all things. He understood authority. He saw that he had his authority, but he saw that Jesus' authority wasn't limited. He says, "You can just say it. Just say it. Don't even bother coming under my roof. Just say it, and it'll happen. My servant will be healed." You know, that's what the Lord wants us to do today, is to reach out and touch Him by faith. And He wants us to experience Him as a faithful Creator, as a faithful God, a Father who loves us and cares for us. Yet He's just, but His love and His mercy and His long-suffering, that's why He didn't come yet. It is not will that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish. That's why He's forbearing. And so I want to encourage each one of us to put our faith in a faithful God and serve Him with your whole heart. Lord bless you.